portions of our programming have been pre-recorded.
The Good Neighbor Network, WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna. Flagship station for MTSU sports. The views and opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of WGNS, its management, other hosts, or advertisers.
Good. Yeah, we're on the air. Ed Raymer with you at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night here at WGNS Live. Right here, Heart of the Great Volunteer State. Hey, finishing up a Girl Scout cookie. I'll be in a lawsuit with them next. Okay. What kind of cookie was that?
It was a special one that they gave you. I think it came in a different bag.
What was that, Connor? What kind of cookies were those we're eating?
Samoas, was it?
Samoas.
Yeah.
Samoas, yes. Delicious. Thank you, Blair. Thank you, Lett. Thank you, Scarlett. She's the lady I buy them from. She's in the Girl Scouts.
You just have a tap ready, just a Girl Scout cookie tap on tap.
Oh, I've got contacts all over the country.
You're on a cookie cartel, Ed?
No, I'm
just... We're going to have to deport you, Ed, because you run a cookie cartel.
Don't mention that either. We hope y'all have as much fun as we are. And Ed Reimer here. And Christian Gay is here, and Connor's on the board. And how you doing, Christian? Glad to have you back.
Well, thank you, Ed. I'm doing just fine. I hope you're doing well. I understand your 38th birthday recently.
Just back in February. Get out of here. Yeah. I passed that about 30 years ago.
No, really?
Yeah, really. Anyway, glad to have you with us. We're going to talk about the Democrat Party, some ups, some downs, and things like that. And and where you can reach us and all that. You did a clinic today or something. You want to call it a clinic?
Yeah,
or
a clinic's fine. Yeah, that works. Yeah. I got about 12 candidates running for county commission, Democrat
right.
candidates running county commission.
Yep.
They're all fine, wonderful individuals. Jake Malmstrom, Brendan Doty, Sean Gillian, a candidate named Diana. I didn't catch her last name, though. Wayne Sharp. Hope
okay.
Oliver was there.
Yeah.
Commissioner Hope Oliver
Hope
was there.
Hope was there, yeah.
The wonderful Kathy Watts was there.
Yeah.
Katie Beth Thomas. Some of you may know her. She's wonderful as well. And
right.
Josh Lux Walker. Pat Clemens. And I think Danielle Nadeau's representative manager was there. And, of course, my very own Will Lahue.
Okay.
He's a candidate I'm managing this time around
right.
For county commission, and
okay.
He helped me organize the meeting. Now, I would be remiss to not mention the excellent support I had from our own staff in getting the materials ready. Kelly Hill is someone working with us, and she's an organizer at the
right.
party as well, and she's been in candidate recruitment. And also, Kelly Northcutt. She came out today to be on a panel, including... Jonathan Yancey, who had ran for State House, and
right.
Laura Bowling, who has been a fixture in the Democratic Party now for quite some time.
Right.
And I chose them because, yes, they were state candidates for sure, so I'm sure there were questions about why, but I addressed that all of them had deep ties to the community and had been in politics, including local politics. I'm pretty sure Laura was a court clerk, I think.
She was circuit court clerk.
I believe so.
County or circuit, I forget.
Yeah,
one of the two. Yes, she was.
Kelly had led a peace and justice initiative
right.
during the Iraqi war. And Mr. Yancey is an educator at a school.
Right.
So I knew that they had deep ties.
Yeah, those folks have been around.
And they knew what they're talking about when it comes
sure.
to community work. So I was very happy with the turnout and the engagement. And when you get candidates together in a room, there's always going to be some sort of normalizing between everybody. They're,
sure.
they're going to be feeling
sure.
things out. They're going to be trying to try to see, well, what exactly is it we've got going on here? And more importantly, who are you? Mr. Gay. Who are you, CG?
Yep. Who are you?
So we did a bit of introduction, and we got into some data about the candidates, which I won't necessarily divulge tonight since I don't have their permission to.
Sure. Yeah, but, we don't want to do that anyway.
But we saw that a lot of them are first-time candidates. Those that do have staff have well-rounded staffs. They pretty well overlap. And, you know, I wanted to think about with them what it would be like to have a approach similar to a wall of some kind, or like a coalition of some kind, about how every Democrat can be what you would expect in Rutherford County.
Right.
And it's going to be different than what a national or a state, even state and local narrative can be.
That it is.
Because none of them had any answers about massive, crazy, you know, like nobody has anything that can make them categorized as some baby killing, Democrat, crazy
getting
Democrat.
Off on all that.
Everybody had issues with growth, roads. They wanted to ensure that governance was forward thinking. They wanted to ensure that that the people of the county were taken care of. And I think it's because they understand that it is the people who run this place.
That's
not
exactly
the,
right.
Not the developers or the moneyed interest, as we've been conditioned to believe. But really, it's in the hands of the people to do what they want. I think that the candidate approach that we're trying to take is to ensure that the people understand that whenever they go to a door, they knock on a door, and they know that the Democrats are here for them, and not because they want a vote one time in an election.
Well, and here's the thing too with what the people you're working with. Hope Oliver included, all them, some that have won, some have lost. Doesn't make any difference. They're answering the call.
Yeah, of course.
And someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
I will never have, you'll never see Ed Raymer's name on a ballot. I'm too old for that. No one likes me anyway. No. I've got too much garbage going with me. And, you know, and that's no reflection on my family. That's me. You know, been in business a long time. There's a lot of people probably, they don't want to, you know, this is as far as it goes right here at the station.
On thin ice, too.
And they say that's far enough,
yeah,
you know.
Far enough.
But yeah, seriously, I mean, I admire anyone who's ever put their name on a ballot. I respect them. I appreciate it. Win, lose, or draw.
Uh-huh. And I want to add a corollary to that. Also, the people that manage, that work in these, the unthanked people, the ones that spend countless moments awake.
They're the ones
after
that get you
kids.
Elected.
They're the, I mean, the ones that, that come
right.
out to staff and to work in the hot summer, the cold winters, or when somebody cusses you out at the door, which doesn't happen a lot, contrary to popular belief.
Right.
But it can.
Yeah.
You know, those people deserve massive props also. And as being somebody who has been operating in that space for about 11 years, I've come to have an appreciation for people who want to help their communities by helping out their candidates. So if there's anybody out there who may be on the fence about wanting to join a campaign or think about doing any kind of political work, there's a place for you. It's open for you. And we've got some candidates who need it.
And in that business, and it is a business.
It sure is.
You can work your way up.
Yeah.
You know, no one ever knew who James Carville was.
Uh-uh.
He said it himself. He wasn't going to get by in life on his good looks. And nobody knew who he was until Bill Clinton won the presidency.
Right.
Everybody said, how did this guy from Arkansas do this? Well,
he understood,
fellow,
he understood Arkansas.
From Louisiana kept telling him it's the economy, stupid. And that was
right.
A very simple approach, but it worked.
Well, and even in my own, you know, I went from somebody who started out not knowing – you know, what exactly a campaign does, and I went,
right.
The first campaign I ever got paid for was Mariah Phillips, and
right.
She sent me out to places in Rutherford County I didn't know existed,
sure.
And she told me to go knock on some doors, and I was by myself, and I still got that check on my nightstand, to always keep me grounded about, you know, there are different people in this process, and they're all going to be instrumental in any kind of success. So whenever you're running a campaign, it's not so much about the candidate, because the candidate's the vehicle.
Right.
But you have to have engineers, and you have to have another party apparatus. You have to have faith leaders. You have to have community builders. You have to have people who are there and ready to work with you and support you, and help you, because the candidate is not going to be the one to revolutionize.
No.
By themselves, or to flip a district by themselves. There was a guy today who had attended the meeting, and he said, "Well, you know, I hadn't seen a Democrat or any candidate flip a district from red to blue in 30 years. And I, you know, I didn't say anything to him, but I thought, well, if you've noticed what happened the last 30 years, we've forgotten a lot of our base.
That's exactly right.
We've neglected to show that the people that have built the country.
And one of the reasons I want you here tonight.
And built the economy and built up these little communities that nobody cares about.
That's right.
Except for the people that live there. We've neglected to win them. But I also want to tell them, it's not the candidate's job alone.
That's exactly right.
You have to have people who are willing to get their hands wet with you.
Yeah.
For you to make any hay.
Get a little grit on your fingernail.
You have to. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be people from churches. It's going to be people from offices. It's going to be people in different organizing communities that goes in and fertiles up this ground for you.
And believe it or not, there are still, I believe, mostly good, decent people in churches. They're all not a bunch of people worshiping a man.
You can just say World Outreach. It's okay.
Yeah. Whatever.
You won't, I will.
All right. With that, thank you all for tuning in, and we appreciate it. And Connor, be no more need for you either, son. We're going to open this thing up, okay? But for right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymer, and yes, I'm still a private investigator. Welcome aboard. Okay.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your good neighbor station, News Radio WGNS.
All right, and we are with you, Ed Raymer, for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show, and this show is produced at studios WGNS AM. 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM right here in the heart of the great Volunteer State. We're right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, if you're listening going down the road tonight. And you can reach us with your questions, your comments, and your thoughts at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. You can also send me a text to that number, and our producer, Connor, will be glad to read it over the air for those of you who do not wish to be heard live. If you're a little too high or too shy and don't want to go on the air, we understand. My host, my guest this evening.
Your host. I'm sitting where you sit.
Okay. This guy came tonight. He wants to talk to you. And his name is Christian Gay. He's been here before long enough. He pretty well knows his way around. And we're going to talk to him about some things the Democrat Party is doing and how maybe some things that are where they have laid dormant for a while. You can also watch us on Facebook Live at News Radio WGNS, Big G TV. You can catch us on YouTube. The Edwin Lee Raymer Show on WGNS. And you can find us. You can find all the shows I've done from several dates, going back a couple years now. And you can also download the WGNS app and take WGNS with you wherever you go. Listen whenever you wish. And it's cool. Check out some of our local programming. Brian and John are doing basketball right now. They're getting into the finals and all that, going to the state for basketball. And doing a great job. Jason Qualls does a great job in the afternoon with financial coaching. Got good gas people that know their stuff. Angela Bingham just left here. Her and Angie Renee. And I finally got that right. Angie Renee left. She's she couldn't eat one of our cookies. She's on this diet.
She's fasting. First 10 days of the month.
I'm telling you. And everybody think about her. That she get drink some water or something anyway along the way. But, they do a great job of simplicity, and they're on every Sunday at 6. Check them out. I think you'd enjoy that, feeding people. I want to tell you about an event coming up before we move on. Once Upon a Page, 2026, it's for Lindsay Schultz, and it's a book and story convention. Lindsay owns the Spine Bookstore down in Smyrna. These are local authors, narrators, and vendors that are going to be there April 18th and 19th at the Smyrna Event Center at Sam Ridley Parkway, 100 Sam Ridley Parkway. You can find it down in Smyrna. Now, this year's event, well, they're going to bring together all kinds of writers of all genres, everything from fantasy to romance, poetry, children's literature, and a weekend packed with author signings, panel discussions, giveaways, community fun. Now, you can get tickets at the Spine, S-P-I-N-E, Bookshop, the Spine Bookshop, all one word, .com. And that's the spinebookshop.com, okay, to get your tickets. It's going to be a good event, and we're glad to make those announcements for Lindsay and her folks.
Supporting the arts tonight.
Yes. That's right. Supporting books for the Burnham all.
Or Bantam.
Bunch of Republicans, they'd rather burn them.
Well, that's because they don't know how to read it.
Yeah, they had 2,700 books. I said, I want to know who read those because, yeah. You know, yeah. I don't, yeah, we're going to ban all these books. How are you now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're here to do something else, but I get disgusted with this. You know, go read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. Go read your Bible and mm-hmm. read all of it. Read the sordid stories that are in there as well. Okay? Because there's some pretty raunchy stuff they get with in the Bible. Okay?
Yeah, they get down in the Bible, man.
Yeah. And also, have you heard of the internet?
Hmm. Well, that may be a kink in the problem there.
Or how about a phone?
Ooh, that also might be a little bit of an issue as well.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, I don't guess they're that far-sighted to kind of think about that.
I've been a member of the swing shift for 10 years now. Not ashamed to admit it. I'm coming out swinging.
You sure are. Swinging in shifts, are we?
Yeah, that's right. The swinging shift. No. Listen, come on, people. Wake up. All right. Christian, I'll tell you what let's do before we get into this. Let's go ahead, Connor. Run our first series of ads, please. Okay? And let's do that. And Connor's going to be good enough to make me a cup of coffee because I don't know how to. And it's not because that's part of what he does here. He just does it for me because I'm just so ignorant. I don't know how to operate the machine. So, anyway, thank you. Run some ads. Back with you right after this. Stay with Christian Gaze, our guest. Back with you right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations of Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
And I want to tell you about a great friend of ours, Jay Mullins Jewelers. You know, they've been in this county for going on 100 years now. And their new location is 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Jewelry for any and all occasions, weddings, birthdays, of course, all holidays, Christmas and everything, getting real busy around the Christmas holidays. Check them out at 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. You know, Jay Mullins Jewelers. Can't beat it.
Turn your YouTube into text. This is Soundbites, and I'm Alan Davidson. You'll find a tutorial for that on YouTube. But maybe you don't want to plod through an hour of video just to find a few points you need now. Or what if you just don't learn well from videos? That's when you should try YT Detox. It's a simple AI tool that takes any YouTube video and turns it into useful text with key points and valuable data summarized, just the way you specify. It's an incredible time saver, putting you right into the real meat of the content in just seconds. The old saying is that a picture is worth 1,000 words, but in the real world, sometimes a word is worth 1,000 pictures. So when the need hits, consider trying YT Detox at ytdetox.live. with Soundbites. I'm Alan Davidson for CBS News.
I'm Larry Magid with the Connect Safely Report. For teens, looking at pictures of very attractive people on social media can lead to what one psychologist calls compare and despair. Parents, says Connect Safely Education Director Carrie Gallagher, should talk to their kids about who they follow.
Accounts that promote idealized bodies, makeup tutorials, or athletes or famous people with unrealistic standards can be harmful.
And if your teen is overly focused on appearance, encourage them to
look deeper than the surface. Encourage pursuits of online activities that go beyond appearance, such as academic interests, digital art, and online acts of service.
Which is to say, it's not simply whether kids are online or how long they're online, but what they're doing on social media. Details at connectsafely.org/radio. With the Connect Safely Report, I'm Larry Magid for CBS News.
Oh, we are back. We're fighting over what to put in my coffee, so we're just going to put just a little bit of sugar if you got it.
I suggested amphetamines, but Ed didn't think that that would be becoming of him.
No, then, you know, there's other people that think it'd be all right. Anyway, we're back after our first break. Christian Gaze with Chris. We're talking about the Democrat Party.
Yeah, I guess.
Now, it sounds like you had some wonderful people that's come out. They've agreed to sign up and go through this.
Oh, yeah.
And go through the process, win, lose, or draw.
Uh-huh.
Several of them, first time candidates of any type. You got Hope Oliver. And Hope can shed a whole lot of light. Jonathan Rant. Mm-hmm. Anyone that's ran, they can share. Laura Bowling, all those folks that have held office, they've run in office. You know, they know what's going on.
Well, you know, a lot of them, they may be first-time candidates, but a lot of them come from backgrounds that make them used to be able to interact with people. They have people skills, which is important. Nobody there seemed to be a complete and total novice when it comes to understanding political operation. There wasn't anything today that I don't think nobody didn't understand.
Sure.
You know, sure. And they're very sharp people and they're very driven people. And those are the most dangerous people that I think make good candidates.
Sure.
Is that they are extraordinarily driven, fierce competitors, and they definitely have the it factor when it comes to exacting to the people what they think is the best direction for the county and getting people to settle on them. I told the story today about my own political mentor, Carson Turner. He's actually clerking for a federal judge in West Virginia. He went to Penn Law School, one of the Ivy Leagues up there. And he told me, he sat me down in a cafe whenever I was starting out doing politics here. And he said, Christian, I want you to go over to that table. And I want you to convince those people over there that you can make their lives better. And that stuck with me ever since.
Right.
Because he didn't say, go to those Republicans, or go to those Democrats, or go to those independents.
Go to those people.
Go to those people.
Yeah.
And that's what I tried to distill to our folks today was that, listen, for every metric we have, we sometimes lose the plot for who it is we're dealing with. They're not just a name on a sheet that you go knock a door. They're your neighbors. And
sure.
you know, they're not an audience. You're working in a transactionary situation.
Sure, that's right.
You go to them, you knock on the door, you ask for a vote, and you hope they give it to you, and you sell yourself the best way you can. And we, you know, we had plenty of discussions today about what messaging will look like, and I don't want to give anything away there. But
sure,
I really do think that a lot of these candidates are sharp people. All of them are sharp people. Not a lot of them, all of them. And I really do. I really am impressed with the differing kind of outlooks that all of them have. Some of them are different political beliefs. Some of them lean a bit more to the right. Some of them lean a bit, a little more to the left.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Lately, the last few elections, we've had a whole lot better candidates. To have, first of all, candidates at all.
Yeah.
But we've got some, these are decent people. Like I said, these are people that can make a difference.
And some of them stepped up because there wasn't anybody running
right
on a seat.
That's right.
And that's bravery in itself.
Sure.
There's nobody there. And I was talking to what's his name? Wayne Sharp today.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, I was at a meeting and they said they needed somebody to step up and run. And he said, well, I went home and I thought about it. And I said, okay.
Okay.
He steeled himself to said, okay, I'm going to go do this.
I'm going to do it. Yeah.
And never done it before.
Never done it, but we'll take it out here and give it a whirl.
Yeah. And sure. That's what a democracy is built on, is people taking chances, people taking risks.
Oh, man.
And and so, you know, whenever we were we discussed a few things. We discussed candidate experience, what their staffing looked like, where they were getting their money from,
right?
And how they were promoting themselves. And we all kind of went through and looked at some of the finer details that all of them overlapped on. But one thing that amazed me the most is that, for example, Josh Lux Walker, and let's just say Kathy Watts. Two totally different people, two totally different generations, two totally different experiences. Okay. Kathy had been the chair of the Democratic Party for a long time.
Right.
Also worked in the community. Can't say enough great things about Kathy Watts.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. He's not lazy.
No.
She's not lazy.
No, she's not. But they had overlaps in their ideas, which is rare.
Right.
And I told the group, I said, it's a beautiful thing whenever all of you spontaneously and naturally come together as one unit and have the same ideas, and it's all focused on what you can do to make the county better.
Sure.
And
but maybe a different way to get there, but the end result is this can make the situation better.
Sure. Well, by and large, a lot of it's going to be sort of the same way.
Right.
And that
common sense.
Well, in messaging, some of it will be the same.
Right.
You know, because my grand idea is that whenever people see ads online or they're talking to their friends,
right?
You know, they talk, well, you know, we got this candidate running over here. Oh yeah, my candidate's like that. And it normalizes democratic governance. Now, it's a long game.
Sure, it is.
Progress
is not a sprint.
No,
this is not a sprint.
Not at all. No. And if it starts with this generation of candidates, because I think this is the first time we'd actually tried to want to start a coalition like this.
It sounds like it. Yeah, I don't believe that's been done before. It may have. I don't know. But
it's not in utero, but it's also not a full living being yet, because they still have work to do. And I told them today after the meeting, I sent an email of all the materials we discussed. And I said, look, if you want to keep doing these and we want to keep having, you know, temperature checks and stuff, I want you to contact me. I want you to email me, email our staff, email each other, and keep building upon the progress that you're making, because this is new.
Sure.
It's new. Mm-hmm. You know, these new times call for new measures, and I think that having a unified candidate approach, and I say that as if they're all going to be working together under the same thing, they're not. But
sure.
But having it to where the normalization and the modernization of political messages that are simple, easy to follow. I said GAG today. GAG. Growth, growth, affordability, and governance.
Right.
That's the main things they're focused on. They want growth to be something that's prudent, that is done well, They want it to be something that people think about the ramifications, because the Plan Rutherford planned for growth and development. You know, Franklin, Murfreesboro, Nashville, Clarksville, that area will in 50 years, or no, not in 50 years, by 2050, will be the same size as Denver Metro is today. That's massive.
The area of where now? Can't run it by me again.
Murfreesboro, right. Nashville, Franklin, and Clarksville. That's that area by 2050 will be the size of modern day Denver.
You know, something I saw this week that I have never, ever considered. And they were comparing us, and there's been a contest, sort of.
Yeah.
An unofficial race to get to this number four spot in the state, fourth largest county. It's been Chattanooga is
Hamilton
County.
Yeah.
There's something that a fella put on there, and it may have been Wayne. I don't know. But I'll stand corrected, whoever it was. And thank you. I forget who it was. I could look it up on my phone. I'm not going to waste time with that. We have roughly, really, the area. We have only half of what Chattanooga has.
Yeah.
Let's say acreage.
Yeah, I think, I mean.
They
yeah.
have 100 acres. We have 50.
Yeah.
Or I think we had like 64 or something like that.
Right.
That's cutting us way. I mean, we have no choice but to go up.
Right.
If we can go at all.
Well, that's what I told the candidates today. I said, look.
Right.
You can't put the toothpaste of growth back in the tube.
You cannot do it.
And no. If it's going to be inevitable, then why are we wasting our time thinking about stopping growth when we can be talking about how to make growth accessible for everybody in the county? It doesn't matter if they live in Kittrell, or if it doesn't matter if they live in Eagleville or downtown or
sure,
Walter Hill
sure.
or Smyrna. If it's going to get big, then why don't we have Democratic candidates who talk about what stewardship in the community looks like?
Right.
You know, looking at county commission candidates, we haven't had a robust group of people come out and say, you know what? Yeah, we're going to grow, but we're going to be good at it.
We've got a caller on the line. Caller, sorry to keep you waiting so long. Caller, please, go ahead.
Mr. Raymond, Mr. Gay, how y'all doing this evening?
Well, is this Jeff? Jeff?
Yes. How y'all doing? I just wanted to meet y'all. Were talking about the elections I saw. Like I told Evan Lee this week, there's about 75 candidates running local. Everything local, school board and everything.
So, right.
Of course, yep. the birth post, all the people that's running the parties and all that stuff. People pick the copy up this week. They can read it online. And also, I'm sure you know what's going on nationally with the voter ID and things. DOJ has sued about 30 states. Kentucky's one of them. Colorado's the other ones. They want the voter rolls.
Yeah, we've already turned ours over.
Well, I'm saying it's the other states. Kentucky has told them that they've turned over some that they want all of it. Kentucky's told them no. So they're going to court. There's about 30 states. They're wanting the rolls not, and you know what they want to do. They're going to purge them. Of course, that's what they want to do with it.
And, yeah, sure.
And everything, so that's kind of the deal. And of course, he wants to change the election rules. You know how Trump is.
They won't change
it. He liked when he lost the Supreme Court, they looked like a 5-year-old child out there crying. You know, they bashed our country, and
unpatriotic.
They the service to their families, like the decision on the tariffs, you know how that is. You know, we can't have, we've got to be American for our country and have these tariffs. But I just want to say to y'all talking about, I know this is kind of a national thing, but I just saw something about it. The attack on Iran, there are some students over there from Carson Newman, you know who that is.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there were students over there and faculty over there. They were over there for an archaeological dig. So now with the attack over there, they're trapped there, so they can't get out.
Oh, mercy.
They're trapped. They're over there, can't get out of there. Well, I guess we need to pray for them. Hopefully they get out of there.
Yeah.
With all that stuff going on, them bombs, everything else going on there.
Yeah, I'd rather have them out of there, yeah.
I just read a story about that online, so hopefully we can get them out of there and get them home back to Jeff City, where they're over there in Tennessee, where they go to school and everything. So that's kind of the latest on that deal, because we all know about the Iran situation and what's going to happen. I've heard that the price of gas is going to go up to the roof. So I don't know if it will or not, but we'll have to wait and see on that. But
well, I thought he said that it was under $1.30 whenever. I went down the street and I said $3.30.
Somebody told me it's 25 cents, like 1920s, but I don't know if it's 35. Somebody told me. I don't know.
I can vouch. I saw gasoline for sale for 29 cents a gallon when I was a child.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, that's, when was that, 1910?
That was back in the last century. Okay. Thank you, Jeff, for calling.
Yeah, have a good week. Yeah, hey,
Hunter, cut the cord to that phone. Don't let that man call back in here ever again. I don't even want to call in the sports show.
1910. Shows. Oh, my
gosh. 1910.
Oh, my
That's
God.
It. That's it. It's over. No, let's.
Old as a river now, huh?
Oh, hush. I hope y'all have a good time. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
If you're feeling down and out, folks, come on up here to the radio station. You can sit over here. If we get a news station, there'll be a glass container. Yeah. It's a glass partition they're going to put behind. Yeah. You can come in and look at me and toss me peanuts like I'm a monkey.
It's the roast Ed Raymer.
Oh, that won't be hard to do.
No.
All you got to do
Soft
is run
target.
To Facebook.
Soft target.
Yeah, you can do that at all. Okay. All right.
But no, that's horrible about those Carson Newman students.
Yeah, it seemed like I had heard, but I think that's the first. They talked about some local students, I believe, on national news.
Yeah.
I don't know if they knew where the folks were from or whatever. Yeah. But now Carson Newman, do you know how many? Did he say how many there were?
I think he said a few students and a couple of staff. But
hope we can get them out of there.
Yeah,
and
hope
get
so.
Them home.
Yeah, yeah. That's rough stuff.
Oh, yeah, because it's a mess over there right now.
No kidding. You know, you would think that we would learn after a little bit that, you only create the next generation of radicals. You don't really fix anything with a bomb or two, but that's kind of how it is here.
That's exactly right.
You know, the more that bad governance becomes, the more people you have stepping out, and that's something that candidate Will Lahue, running over for county commissioner in district, I forget what county.
I forget
for.
Which one it is. I forget.
I manage him. I forgot. Yeah. I'm pulling a blank, but he can whip me later. But he said today that. You know, that's what happens whenever you have government like this.
Sure.
Is that you get people that you never imagined to run.
Yeah.
And
right.
And I think that's true. The more that people see injustice, the more that people think about what happens to their neighbors, and that's something that the candidates brought up today, is that they're often having to see immigration officers come to their doors of their neighbors, or people they go to church with, or people they work with.
Totally ridiculous.
And, you know, it's a difference when it's a crime versus when it's undue terrorism.
That's exactly right.
And that's a very key
point. And it's being
promoted
by the head of the government.
Correct. Yeah, it's a state.
Saying
it's a
this
state,
is okay.
Yeah, this is fine. Yeah. And the more that you get people to say, no, it's not, then you create a movement of your own. And I don't know that the Republicans are thinking about the ramifications of what their power will do in the long term. They only see short-term gains, and they live off the dopamine that they get from domination, and they get from being able to put their will upon the people in some sort of righteous vengeance that emanates from some sort of higher power of politics and religion and sociology and economics. And they continually want to control and divide and rule. And
right.
these 12 candidates that I spoke with today have said enough. You know, it's different. It's different, Ed.
And that collectively can be a very big voice.
Well, and I wish you know I could put you in the room today because it was
right.
different. I've been in this game, you know.
You've been around this thing a while now.
And I wouldn't tell you if it felt different if it didn't.
Right.
But it did. Mm-hmm. And it made me excited. Because, you know, I think a lot of times we get isolated, we get put on islands,
yeah,
we don't see the work that's going on. But, you know, these people that show up today, Laura Clark is also a candidate that showed up that I neglected to mention on the list. But, you know, she's someone who has been working for a long time. She's part of an older generation, but she's still getting out there. And, you know, she's a very, very intelligent lady, very well spoken. And, you know, I really just... I'm in awe of these people that who are average, normal people. But what makes them brilliant and what makes them indomitable is that they have the drive to show up on a Sunday, listen to a young upstart talk to them about what campaigning is, and going out and doing it.
Right.
You know, like, it's different than it used to be. And you may not see it now. Yeah. You may not see it in returns in August, but things are different now. Or you might if they play their cards right.
I think you'll see it in August. You play your cards right, sure. And here's the thing. I mean, if you're going to do something, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You got to start. And we've had no one, here's what makes me feel good, we've had not that many people that were willing to step up to the plate and just start.
Yeah.
Much less pick up a bat and step in the batter's box.
Right. And you got 12 today that are highly motivated people.
Right.
But if you want to talk about the candidates and what Democratic Party means to this enterprise. So, you know, whenever we were running this today, I could tell that there was still sort of a pall, maybe, a bit of a specter,
right,
of uncertainty, because they knew they were operating. Some of them know that they're operating in potentially unwinnable districts.
Sure.
And sometimes your political math shows that a district is not winnable, and that has nothing to do with how good of a candidate we have or field. Or they can run a perfect, a quote-unquote perfect race. I told them there's no such thing as a perfect race. Don't ever forget that.
That's right.
But, like with Luis Mata, who ran a very robust campaign last time. But
that he did.
But Mike Sparks still carried the day.
Sure.
There's no perfect campaign. But I told them today, I said, look, it's going to take a lot more than just a candidacy to determine the future of this county. And I know that's something that creates disillusionment from people who have been waiting and waiting and waiting 30 years, waiting 40 years, waiting, and it seems to be getting worse, that we have to keep waiting because we want action now. Well, it doesn't come merely from candidates. It comes from community leaders. It comes from our ministers. It comes from groups of organizers. But for the Democratic Party in this county and abroad, in the state party, or in the national party, it's going to have to take reconciliation, setting of boundaries about what it means to care about the country again, and ensuring that our rural people and the communities that feel so left behind don't feel that way anymore. I let me tell you, I went to a Democratic Party meeting in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee.
Right.
I think 2 years ago.
Right,
because I was helping another candidate who was supposed to be speaking there, but he had slept through his time.
Oh my God!
And I went down there as representative informally, but I went down there, and let me tell you, they met in a state park under a gazebo,
right?
Because they didn't have the money for a building they used to,
sure,
but they couldn't have it anymore, and it was very committed people. But there was very few of them, and they were all quite older, so they would be limited in who they could reach out to, what technology they could use to reach out to, and how to reach a generational difference and build a gap.
Sure.
So, you know, we're having to focus now on what we can do to create pipelines to get people to come and volunteer. We're faced with keeping volunteers and volunteer retention. Ensuring that people come to campaigns and actually work on them. And that has a lot to do with how a candidate and their staff manage the people, because all the candidates that I've found that have campaigns for county commission, those that have a staff have a robust staff. They have a social media manager. They have a campaign manager. I mean, I think everybody has a manager, it looks like, or at least five of them do anyway.
Right.
They have a treasurer, because of course you have to. And then they have a field director. So the ones that have that, they're really well rounded. But others, we've got to find people who are willing to step up and learn some of these things. And I think a lot of that's going to come from the Democratic Party going into communities that it's not used to going into, reaching out to people, getting them bought in on what it means to believe in democratic principles in a way that doesn't pander to them, doesn't look down on them, doesn't make them feel like they're come like the, because people who are disinterested in politics don't just stop and become philosophers in a locked room somewhere. No, they want to be talked to in a way that they can understand.
Sure.
And we have to have a party system that can do that again, because now you have so many differing differing messages that are being pumped to people.
It's kind of like, and I equate this, and we'll go to our last break after this with Ken Connor. It's kind of like I equate in the Spanish language.
Yeah.
There are so many different dialects out there.
Right.
It's all still Spanish.
Right.
But, and I don't know anything about Spanish, okay? You know, basic words, hello, and all that. But, no, I don't. But they say there are so many different dialects of that language. I feel like you can get by, you know, they tell us you can get by, and I feel like the Democrat Party, that's kind of like where they are. There's a lot of different feelings mm-hmm. out there, right? A lot of different ideas. Some of them good, some of them not so good.
Lyndon Johnson would say, mm-hmm. son, it's a big pot of stew, so don't nobody spin in it, because we all have to eat it.
That's right. And I'll tell you this, you mentioned Lyndon Johnson, and I'm not going to play it. I had Connor pull it up. But Richard Nixon said it in an interview once. The three greatest leaders he ever saw in his life.
Lyndon Johnson was an animal, he said.
Franklin Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, who, by the way, I've posted on Facebook, he said he objected to any type of corporate money being in any politician's
bank account. Progressive era was a serious time.
Yeah. He stubbed. That was Teddy Roosevelt. Franklin D. Roosevelt, I don't have to tell you about the New Deal, saved the country. In today's money, would have been $2 trillion.
Yeah.
Okay? And, well, $1.9 trillion to be exact. Mm-hmm. But it was Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and Lyndon Baines Johnson.
That's right.
This is Richard Nixon. And this was talking to Pat Buchanan after the interview was on YouTube.
Pat Buchanan,
yeah. Of all people. And he said, they are the three finest leaders I'd ever seen in my life, and two of them definitely Democrat, and in my years, later years, where this the generation I came from, that's remarkable to think that a Republican president actually said that.
Results get results.
I'm
and
telling you,
that's what these 12 candidates have to do.
And I'm telling you, it's, and a lot of these people are not stopping to think where these benefits came from. Your parents are on Social Security. Your parents are on Medicare.
Your kids go to Head Start.
It's all coming around because of fellows by the name of Johnson, fellows by the name of Kennedy, fellows by the name of Franklin D. Roosevelt. We're going to go to a break right now. Connor, take us to a break. Christian Gay's here. I'm Ed Raymer, the Heavenly Raymer Show. Stick with us. We'll be back. We've got about 15 minutes left. Stay with us, folks. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
And I want to tell you about a great friend of ours, Jay Mullins Jewelers. You know, they've been in this county for going on 100 years now. And their new location is 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Jewelry for any and all occasions, weddings, birthdays, of course, all holidays, Christmas and everything, getting real busy around the Christmas holidays. Check them out at 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. You know, Jay Mullins Jewelers. Can't beat it. All right, and we are back. Christian Gade's with us. We've got a few minutes left here. Christian, I want to ask you something. We got about 9 minutes left here. Democrats are winning all over the country. Mm-hmm. Winning races that, which I mentioned a while ago, you talked about numbers.
Yeah.
They show this race is unwinnable. They've shown many a person that. Well, so-and-so carried this race by 28 points last time. You know, all that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're totally blue. You know. Virginia, New Jersey. I mean, we got first-time woman governors.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Former CIA, too.
Can we see something like that happening here in the great state of Tennessee?
I want to define some things.
Okay.
Winning. What winning means is going to be much different to everybody.
Sure.
Because whenever you think about winning, you have to think about who it is that carries people to victory. Now, do I think that there will be some sort of cultural revolution that occurs in Tennessee in 6 months, 4 months? No.
No.
Because an unreasonable person would think that. Do I think that one candidate's going to come out and be the best one since Williams, Jennings, Bryce, and
Brian,
and harder Williams Bryan think he's going to do the harder gold speech and win over a crowd like he's at the Scopes trial or something? I think that victory comes from the small things that we do right. It's like Nick Saban in The Process. You go out and you do your job. You do things well. You work at a high level. You operate on a level that is going to put you in the best position to do your job right. Victory is not controllable, but it's something that can slip from your hands and slip from your fingers if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when a ball game gets away from you.
Right. Right.
Now, I know this is a long, convoluted answer for...
That's all right.
For a yes or no question. But when it comes to Democrats sweeping the board in Tennessee, no.
Yeah.
But what does it look like whenever people begin to change where they are and operate in a way that is at an elite level, as candidates, as political operations, as apparatuses, as community events and organizers? Those are small victories that we can't overlook because we still win. Every person that we get in from an affected area that's had enough is a win. We may not change the score. But I told you before the show started,
right. Mm-hmm.
Just because we take our time in making sure we pull this off, it doesn't mean that we're okay with cruelty.
That's right. Yeah,
it means that we're doing the calculus and the math first. Now, do I think that all 12 candidates are going to win? I have no idea. I know there are some that believe that they are destined to lose. But the thing is that losses are not zero sum in politics. There is always something to be gained, whether it's experience of a candidate or people who have worked on these campaigns who want to come in and keep doing the work. People who still believe after the loss happens. I have lost every single race I've been a part of.
Right.
But I am more fired up than ever.
Yep.
I'm ready to be in the generation that leads the changes that have to be necessary to take care of our communities. And if that is reflected by a loss in a campaign, then it is a disservice to everybody else who is helping out and staffing, who is managing races,
mm-hmm.
who is continuing to carry on the ideals that everybody in this country deserves a chance to be something, whatever they wish to be, to do great things along with their communities, and to ensure that the people of America are taken care of, and that we have rights that are equal for all people. And outcomes that are the same with the same avenues and the same ventures, and that nobody will be put upon by a tyrannical government. If a loss reflects that is in vain, then that's a hill that I'm very willing to die on.
Sure.
I don't care if it's the Alamo. I don't care if it is Iadrang Valley. If it seems like it's impossible, it's only impossible if you act that way.
Sure.
We thought it was impossible to land on the moon. We thought it was impossible to build a great big canal between here and the ocean. We thought it was impossible to get minorities voting rights and to free the slaves. We always thought it was impossible. But for the last 30 years, people and cynics keep telling us we can't do it. It just can't be done.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's ever going to happen.
Right.
Well, that's because you're keeping score. You're not looking at the progress we make in communities that are small and incremental.
That's right.
Because those are the things that matter the most. They are the glue and the foundation of the society that we live in. And if those things are taken for granted because we lost another election, then why are we doing what we're doing, Ed?
Well, and that foundation gets rattled, tattered, and torn every once in a while.
It sure does.
And maybe that's a good thing.
Of course.
Because it's awakened a bunch. It's awakened me. It's the reason I'm here.
Yeah.
I never wanted to do a political show. I never did. I was a private investigator. I did the PI show with Edwin Lee Raymer. That's what I did. And I said, this is not working. And that was, I've been here, I'm in my 14th year. That's okay. Because I've seen this thing come, you know, and in our last election, County Commission, and that's what you're talking about primarily.
Yeah.
By the way, Victoria Broderick, perfect example of a lady that's not willing to sit at home and just let someone run unopposed.
Boy, she told me she was getting death threats, and she just laughed at him.
Yeah.
I mean, indomitable.
Indomitable. She doesn't stop. No. But I'm telling you, you know, we in the last election, Hope Oliver, Rommel McMurray, independent.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Sure.
I'll take that, you know.
Yeah.
And Hope. Who cannot love that woman?
I know it.
I mean, and, I know it. You know, if you don't want to know how she's doing, please don't ask, because she will tell you.
She'll tell you how you're doing.
And she'll tell you how I'm doing.
That's right. She'll tell you how you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, but she will, and that's okay. And apparently the people down there like that.
Yeah.
In Laverne.
Yeah, sure do. Well, and here's the main takeaway from anything I've said. Look, we might be in a spot that is untenable for the future. We might be in a spot where we're a little bit down,
yeah,
a little bit out, a little bit disoriented. But the thing is, you have to continue. You have to stay indomitable. You have to stay motivated to do the thing right every time. Because if you don't, if none of you are brave enough to fight for freedom, then you're all going to die under tyranny.
That's exactly right. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. You got 2 minutes.
Ed, it's Terry. I just wanted to add a few comments.
Terry. Okay, please.
He's doing a wonderful job there, and I have been involved with my district area for years, off and on, and I have found that the strivation for principles and all of that is great, but sometimes it appears to me that people are too obsessed with tradition and the way they did things in the party and the way they have to do things in the party.
You'd be right.
Thinking outside of the box.
You would be right.
I think my friend's in agreement with you, my friend.
We have competitors who don't go by the rules. And we need to think outside of the box, and we need to get press coverage. We need to get debates. We need to get people to see there are opponents. And I'm just making suggestions.
You know, I am going to do that, and to get press coverage, I'm trying my best because I'm not a candidate. I will be streaking next week through the courthouse. I'm not going to tell you what day because, you know, but it's going to happen.
I'll be doing...
We're going to have that cup of coffee.
I'll be in next week's show because it'll be in jail.
So you don't have to worry about Terry Livingston from Knoxville being in Murfreesboro anytime soon, ladies and gentlemen. He's staying strong.
And please keep up the good fight over there in Knoxville, please. Lord knows they need it. Lord knows they need it.
You guys doing a great job. I just wish we could get the major presses to get involved more with the local issues because... This is really vital to the continuation of our democracy.
Oh, don't worry, it's coming.
All politics is local.
Don't worry, it's coming.
Terry, I'm sorry I got to let you go. You always wait till the last minute, but I do appreciate your support. And I thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you so much, my friend. Terry Livingston in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, wonderful.
And, you know, he's looked all over for Democrat radio, and he can't find anywhere but here.
Here it is.
This is it.
Here it is.
Ed Raymer with you. Christian Gaisman, our guest. We're going to back out of here. Let's get out of here. It's 9 o'clock. Time to go home.
It's 9 o'clock somewhere.
I had a late lunch, but I'm going home and get a good supper.
Y'all have a good one. Y'all
yeah, my weird. my 5 o'clock somewhere days are over. I can't do that anymore.
Me either.
But I've sure enjoyed it in the past. I can tell you that. I'll tell you what, folks. Till next Sunday. If I don't see you till then, we'll be back next Sunday at 6 o'clock. But till then, I'll catch you down the road. Good night.
8 o'clock.